This morning I'd like us to look at these verses in number 20 to 22, chapter 11 of Hebrews, with the thought of trusting God for tomorrow. Trusting God for tomorrow. It says, "By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones." We see in these three men that are mentioned here that they were trusting God for tomorrow. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you again for this time in your word. And Lord, I pray that as we consider this portion of scripture this morning and those scriptures that would relate to it, that you speak to each one of our hearts. Lord, we thank you that we can trust you for today, and you've told us that today is a day of salvation. And Lord, you've told us that today is the day to serve you, and that we are not to boast of tomorrow because we do not know what tomorrow is. And yet, Lord, you've also instructed us that we ought to plan for tomorrow, yet ultimately leave it in your care, in your control, in your hand, and not to worry and fret about it. And Lord, as we consider these men of old here and their lives, and as they drew near to the end of their lives, how they trusted you with their children and trusted you with their tomorrows, as it were. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to realize how this message applies to us. And Lord, if there be anyone that's not sure of heaven today, Lord, I pray that today would be the day when they would make sure of heaven. And for those of us who know you, Lord, I ask that you'd help us to realize that we can trust you with our tomorrows and the tomorrows of our children as well. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Just to realize in verse number 20 and 21, it speaks about blessing. And these blessings were given by faith. It speaks about the blessing of Isaac and also the blessing of Jacob in these verses. They were the ones that did the blessing, of course. We usually think of blessing as something that comes from God. We say, well, we're such a blessed people. And we are blessed to have health and strength. We're blessed to have a nice place to live. We're blessed to live in a free country. And we consider these blessings to be blessings from God. And rightly, of course, they are. God does indeed bless us, and he prospers us in so many ways. But the word bless means to speak well of, to invoke a benediction upon, or to prosper. And so therefore we can bless others. We can, you know, invoke a benediction upon them. We can speak well of them. We can help them. And so we can bless others. And also the Bible speaks about us blessing God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that was within me. Bless his holy name. So we realize that blessing is not only something that comes from God, but also it's something that we ought to impart to others and to the Lord, of course, as well. The blessing of offspring was fairly common in Bible times. We often read, similar to what we've read here in our text, that there were those parents who blessed their children. And naturally, of course, a father wants what is best for his children. A mother wants what is best for their children. And so we look at this verse of Scripture, and though it's not something that necessarily we practice in this organized way, we might say, as they did here, we realize that, yes, we desire well for our children. We desire God's best in their lives. But we read in the verse there, the second word is faith in verse number 20 and also in verse 21. And so these men didn't just say, well, I hope all goes well for my children. I mean, that's nice. But the Bible says that they blessed their children by faith. There was an element of trust there in the blessing. Who were they trusting? Well, obviously we know we've talked about faith as trusting God. We had our kids club, and it was this past one or the one before, and I asked them, and the children, if any of them knew what faith was, and one of them said, faith is believing in fairy dust or something like that. And I said, well, faith is believing, but it's not believing in fairy dust, as it were, accounts to the Word of God here. Faith is believing in God. Faith is believing in what God can do. And so the Bible says that they blessed their children by faith. Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. How could he do that? Did he know what was going to take place in the future? Well, yes, some of it, because of the promises of God. And he blessed Jacob and Esau based on what God had said. It was a blessing based in the promises of God, as we'll see in just a few moments. The blessings, again, were not merely a father's well-wishing for his son, but were rather the promise of God being passed from one generation to the next. In other words, if Isaac hadn't believed God's promise to Abraham, he would have had no blessing to pass on to Isaac or to Jacob and Esau. He wouldn't have been able to pass on that blessing. If Jacob hadn't believed God's promises to Abraham and to Isaac and to himself, he wouldn't have blessed Joseph's sons. And so their blessing was by faith. It was trusting in what God had said he would do for the nation of Israel, the descendants of Abraham. Faith was expressed in these blessings because they were trusting God to do for their children what they could no longer do for themselves for their children, but what God had promised to do to the generations to come and in the lives of the generations to come. Isaac's blessing of Jacob and Esau entailed things that would take place after Isaac had died, when he no longer could provide for them or ensure that things did go well for them. He would no longer be there to be the protector of his sons because he was going to be passing on into eternity. And so, based on the promises of God, he said, "Son, I want to gather you and I want to bless you with the blessings of God." He was trusting God by faith to fulfill what he could not do himself. You know, we need to raise our children right and teach them right, but we must also trust them to God, because the reality is we will not always be with them every second of every day. And therefore, we need to teach them the truths of the Word of God, teach them the principles of the Word of God, but we also have to say, "God, I've done what I can. Now I want to trust them to your care and leave them in God's care and trust him to look after them, not only when we cannot be present in this life, but when our sojourn in this life is over and the future for us is heaven, then we need to trust God to continue his work in their lives." Let's look back at Isaac's blessing back in Genesis chapter 27. Back in Genesis chapter 27 is where we find the record of Isaac blessing Jacob and Esau. Now, you probably remember the story that there was some things going on there. This wasn't quite the blessing the way that it was planned by Isaac. Nevertheless, we will read what took place here. Genesis chapter 27, it says in verse number 1, "It came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, 'My son.' And he said unto him, 'Behold, here am I.' And he said, 'Behold, now I am old, and I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison, and make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, and that my soul may bless thee before I die.'" Skip down to verse number 18. The Bible says, "He came unto his father, and he said, 'My father.' And he said, 'Here am I. Who art thou, my son?'" And it says, "Jacob said unto his father, 'I am Esau, thy firstborn.'" We see a problem right there, don't we? Jacob said, "I am Esau." That wasn't the truth, of course. He was Jacob. "I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me." And Isaac said unto his son, "How is it that thou found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord thy God brought it to me." And Isaac said unto Jacob, "Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not." And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him, and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are hands of Esau." And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, "Art thou my very son Esau?" And he said, "I am." And he said, "Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee." And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, "Come near now, and kiss me, my son." And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Let the people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee." So we see that the blessing took place here. The blessing on Jacob, of course, first of all, is mentioned here. Jacob had deceived his father along with his mother. They had intentionally deceived Isaac. There were problems in that home before the deception took place. The Bible tells us that there was favoritism. Isaac loved Esau and Rebekah loved Jacob. That caused problems in the home. Rebekah and Jacob then conspired to deceive Isaac so Jacob would obtain the firstborn's blessing. You know that God had already promised that Jacob would receive the blessing of the firstborn, that the elder would serve the younger? Why was it that Rebekah felt the need to take it into her own hands to do what God had already promised he would do? To deceive her husband and to push out her other son, as it were? It's sad, isn't it, that sometimes God gives us promises in his word and yet we fail to believe them and accept them, thinking we can do something better. We have a plan. We can make this thing happen, when it's God, in this case, who had promised, who had said what was going to take place. How sad it is and how much trouble we get ourselves into when we do as they did. When we try to fulfill God's part of the promise rather than doing our part and trusting God to do his part. What they did brought great grief on this family. It split the family apart, caused great anger, great frustration, and what a sad situation that took place. But thinking it was Esau, Isaac blessed Jacob with the blessing of the firstborn. He was blessed, as we see in the verse we read, verse 24 to 29, with bountiful provision. It says in verse 28, "Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine." He wished him, he blessed him with God's bountiful provision in his life. He blessed him also with power and authority. Verse 29, "Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy much sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee." So he was blessed with the power and authority to be a leader, to be one in charge of his other nations, to be one that would be over other nations, as it were, and to be in charge over his brother, his brethren, as it says there in verse number 29. This was the blessing that was being passed on to his son because Isaac believed the promise of God that was given to Abraham, where God said to Abraham, "I'll make thee a great nation." And so here would be one way of being a great nation, would be having leadership over other nations. And this was the blessing that was passed on by faith. We see that he was also blessed with that great promise that was given to Abraham, "I will bless him that blesseth thee and curse him that curseth thee." That was what was given to Abraham back in Genesis chapter number 12. God spoke that to Abraham. It was a reminder of the promise of God to Abraham. This was a blessing that was passed on. And these words have been true throughout history and are still true today, aren't they? God's hand is still upon Israel. Israel, you would think, would have been wiped out long ago. It's a very small nation in geographically speaking, and yet God has watched over that nation in a way that is supernatural. God has done that because that was the promise that he made to Abraham so many years ago. Those who've risen up against Israel have not prospered. Remember Haman? Haman thought, "I'm going to destroy those Jews. That Mordecai the Jew, he sits at the gate, he won't bow down to me, he annoys me. I'm going to destroy him and all his nationality." But God turned it around. God spared them. God protected them from that. The journey was defeated when they rose up against Israel. And sadly, they killed many Jews, but ultimately, Germany was defeated. That army, that Hitler was defeated. The Bible tells us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. God's hand is upon Israel. This was the promise that was passed down. And Isaac, by faith, blessed his son and said, "Son, I'm going to pass on this blessing that God has promised this, and I want to see it fulfilled in your life. I'm trusting God." His blessing was by faith. He also blessed Esau then, realizing what had taken place, the deception that had taken place, and so on. As Jacob was just leaving, having received the blessing of, of Isaac, in comes Esau. Well, who said the Bible wasn't an exciting book, amen? Imagine the tension that was going on there. Imagine Jacob saying, hurry up and bless me, Dad, quit asking questions, because my brother could come in at any moment. And in he came, just on the heels of Isaac walking out. And realizing what had taken place, it says in verse 38, Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword thou shalt live, and thou shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. There was a blessing here upon Esau, because remember our text said, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. Both of them are mentioned there back in Hebrews chapter number 11. And so we find that Jacob passed on that blessing to Esau of God's provision for him. In verse 39, that thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and the dew of heaven. He said, I'm praying that God will give you provision for your needs. And yet that second part here was, thou shalt serve thy brother, because that was the promise of God. That's what God had said, and it was by faith that the elder was to serve the younger. God had said that already in Genesis 25:23. And so also, although Esau didn't like to hear it, it was the blessing of God by faith, the blessing of Isaac by faith of what God had said upon Esau. And so Isaac's blessing on Jacob and Esau were done by faith in the promises of God. The next blessing, of course, that was passed on that's mentioned in our text is that of Jacob blessing the sons of Joseph. And let's look over at chapter 48 of Genesis. Chapter 48 of Genesis, we find the record of when God, or when Jacob rather, blessed Joseph's sons. Our text refers specifically to him blessing Joseph's sons, and so that's what we will consider this morning. Though if we had the time to see, we would see that Jacob blessed all of his sons. But he has made a special point of blessing his grandsons, his two grandsons here, who were Joseph's sons. As we'll look at in Genesis 48, verse 1, it says, it came to pass after those things that one told Joseph, behold, thy father is sick. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Jacob and said, behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee. And Israel strengthened himself and sat upon the bed. And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan, and blessed me, and said unto me, behold, I will make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. And now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt, before I came unto thee in Egypt, are mine, as Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. And verse number 13, we pick up, continue the story. It says, Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all the days of all my life long, unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. And let thy name be named, my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. When Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. And he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, not so, my father, for this is my firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, and he shall also be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them that day, saying, in thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. And Israel said unto Joseph, Behold, I die, but God shall be with you, and will bring you again into the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow. We see here Jacob's blessing upon Ephraim and Manasseh. It was the blessing of God. Jacob reminded Joseph and his sons that this was God's blessing. Again, he said, this is what God blessed me with, and this is the blessing that I am passing on to you and unto your sons in particular. The blessing was fruitfulness to make a great nation. God had promised that to Abraham. God promised it to Isaac. God promised it to Jacob. And now Jacob's blessing these two boys with that same blessing, that they would become and have their portion as one of the 12 tribes of Israel. You look at the land of Israel, it was divided, and Ephraim and Manasseh are mentioned, but Joseph is not. Say, why is that? Well, because of this blessing that Jacob said, they will be as my sons. Remember, Jacob thought that he was bereft of Joseph. He thought Joseph had died. And here he says, I'm going to give you, Joseph, a double blessing by making your sons as my sons and blessing them with that much more, with extra land. They'll have twice as much of the land that I have taken because they'll each have land as if they were my own sons. His blessing was couched in his own testimony of God's faithfulness. You notice that? He said, the God who looked after me, the God who provided me, the God who blessed me, is the God who is going to bless your sons. His faith was a real faith. His faith was a living faith that he was passing on here to his grandchildren, and he was blessing them with that blessing of faith that God would do that great work in their lives as he had done in his own. You know, if we aren't living by faith ourselves, how can we pass on a faith to our children? Jacob said, I'm blessing you because God has blessed me, and the God who's watched over me, and the God who I attribute all my success and all everything that has been blessed in my life has come from God. That's the one who's going to bless you. That's the one who I am trusting to bless my grandchildren. Of course, there was a situation there where there was the right hand and the left hand were switched over. The right hand of blessing was a special thing. It was normal for the older one to receive the blessings of the right hand. And Joseph had it all figured out. So I want to take my sons in. I'm going to guide the older one to the right hand and the younger one to the left hand. But Jacob knew what he was doing. It says, wittingly, he took his hands and he switched his hands and had his right hand on the younger and his left hand upon the older. Joseph wasn't very happy with that. But Jacob knew that Ephraim, the younger, would be the greater of the two. The right hand was symbolic of power and of honor and a blessing. And many times we find it in the scriptures. Thy hand, O Lord, has become great and glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. Is the Exodus chapter 15. Jesus has spoken as being at the Father's right hand many times in the Word of God. And Psalm 17:7 says, Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against him. And so we see the power of the right hand is specified throughout the scriptures. And of course it was God's right hand that brought salvation. Amen. Jesus is at the Father's right hand. Jesus is the one that provided for our salvation and provided that salvation that nobody else could provide. The question this morning is, have you received the salvation which God provided by his own right hand? Back in our text, it tells us that Jacob's blessing was when he was a dying. We just read there in Genesis chapter 48 that Jacob was getting ready to die. It said he strengthened himself on his bed. He propped himself up, as it were, to get that last bit of strength. But he was preparing to die. A few weeks ago, we looked at that, the fact that these all died in faith. Jacob died in faith, passing on the blessing to his children because he believed that God would fulfill those promises. He died in faith. He was trusting God to continue to fulfill those promises, to make a great nation, to protect Israel, and so on, to give them the land. He still believed that God would do those things, although he had a staff in his hand. He was a pilgrim in a strange land. And yet he said, God's going to do it. And he's going to do it with my children and my grandchildren. He's going to give them that land. Ultimately, it will be theirs. Praise God for those who die with a blessing on their lips rather than a curse. Jacob died blessing his children, his grandchildren. How sad isn't it to meet people who are bitter in their old age and who are very bitter against life and bitter against God at what he has done. Jacob wasn't that way. Jacob died knowing the fullness of God's blessing and trusting God was still going to do what he hadn't yet seen fulfilled himself. God was going to do it. He trusted God and died blessing his children and grandchildren with the blessing that was yet to come. He died in faith, and he blessed his grandchildren in faith, and he worshiped as he passed away in faith. As the Bible says there in verse 21, by faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Still worshiping God. Still praising God. To worship means to prostrate oneself in homage, to do reverence, or to adore. And as he pondered the promises that he was passing on to his grandchildren, he couldn't help but say, what a great God. He's going to do this in the lives of my grandchildren. He's going to do this in those descendants, those yet to come. He's going to do this. And he praised God. Can you imagine the memories that flooded Jacob's mind? Of how God had guided his steps throughout the way. I'm sure there were some regrets of the deception that he pulled upon his father. There were some regrets, perhaps, of many experiences in his life that he'd done wrong. And yet, as he looked back and saw the mercy and grace of God in his life, he passed on that blessing in a worshipful way. He worshipped his God and thanked his God for what he had seen accomplished. We conclude with verse number 22, where we go from a blessing to what may seem like a strange request. And yet it's all with that picture in view of the future, of the fulfillment of God's blessings in the future, the fulfillment of God's promises in the future. See, Isaac looked to the future as he blessed Jacob and Esau. He blessed them concerning things to come based on the promises of God. Jacob, the same thing to his grandchildren. He blessed them by faith of what God's promises were. Now Joseph is here, and it says when he died, he made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. On his deathbed, Joseph said, Egypt's not our home, people. Egypt is not the place that God has promised us. We're going to leave this nation. We're going to leave Egypt and we're going to go to the place that God has prepared for us. When you think about it, Joseph was living very comfortably in Egypt at that time. When he died, there was a great funeral for him. And he'd been the Pharaoh's right-hand man. The Pharaoh said, there'll be nobody greater than you except for in the throne. I will be greater than you. But other than that, nobody will be greater than you. Joseph could have said, look, we've got a future in Egypt. I've been basically the prime minister and my reputation was greatly used and we'll stay here. But that wasn't what God said, was it? God said that wasn't their land. God said the land of Canaan was their land. And so Joseph, as he is dying, he says, we're going to leave this place. It's going to be after I die, but when we leave, you make sure you take my bones with you. Because we're not staying in Egypt. Yeah, they were well taken care of. They may have just said, why don't we just stay here? But Joseph said, no. By faith, I'm trusting that God is going to take us to that land that He has promised to give us. His statement was based on what God had promised to Abraham and to Isaac and Jacob. His statement was in agreement with Jacob's blessing of his sons that God was going to give them that land. I don't know, but I just have a feeling that that promise of God is what kept Joseph going all throughout his life. Joseph lived a life of faith. It's interesting to me that God records in Hebrews chapter 11 here just his dying words. And yet think about Joseph's life. What a life of faith he lived. How could he have not grown bitter against his brothers for selling him as a slave and telling his dad he was dead? Because he trusted God. He lived his life by faith. Why was it when tempted by Potiphar's wife to do that immoral act, why didn't you say, hey, I'm a slave. Nobody's ever treated me nice. Sure, why not? No, he said, I cannot do that. I cannot sin against God. Why? Because he said, I trust God. He's the one I want to please with my life. Then falsely accused and cast into prison anyway. He could have just said, that's it. That's enough. But by faith, he said, God's got something in this. God's going to use this in some way. And those years went by. And he trusted God by faith. And yet, here, the only mention in this chapter, just these few brief words he made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. And yet that was faith too. That was faith that God was taking them to that land. That was faith that they were going to go into their own land. And as much as he had been used in a great way in Egypt, he didn't want his remains to remain in Egypt. He wanted them to be where God promised them, in the land of promise. And he said, take my bones with you. And they did. You can read that in the Word of God there in the book of Exodus. They did. They took his bones with them out of Egypt. He'd saved Egypt from ruin, but he wanted to be buried in the promised land. He wanted to be associated with God's promise rather than the world. He said, we're going to leave this place, and I want you to take my bones, my remains, with you. See, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, they all trusted God with tomorrow by faith. The tomorrows that they were trusting God with were after they had passed off the scene. The tomorrows were the days of their children and their grandchildren and their descendants. But they said, we want to trust God with our tomorrow. Isaac and Jacob blessed their descendants by faith, trusting the promises of God. Joseph spoke of Israel's departure from Egypt and asked his bones be taken out by faith that God would fulfill his promises. They trusted God with tomorrow, a tomorrow that they wouldn't see themselves on this earth. Question is, are we trusting God for tomorrow? Are we trusting God with our tomorrow? There are many things we don't know about tomorrow, aren't there? But we know the same thing that they knew. We know who holds tomorrow. And we can trust our tomorrow with the one who holds tomorrow. Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. Trust it to me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And take no thought for the things of the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Our own tomorrows we must trust to God. Our eternal tomorrow we must trust to God. Have you trusted God with your eternal tomorrow? See, we don't know how long it will be before tomorrow comes. People say tomorrow never comes. But our tomorrow in eternity will come one day. And we don't know when that will be, because we're not to boast ourselves of tomorrow on this earth. We cannot save ourselves. We must trust the one who holds that eternity in his hand. We must trust his salvation. Today is the day of salvation. And tomorrows of our life and the tomorrows of our family, we must trust to God. Question is, are you trusting God with your tomorrow? Let's pray together. Lord, thank you again for this time and this portion of Scripture. Father, I pray that you would help us to realize that our lives are in your hand. our tomorrows are in your hand. Lord, we thank you for the testimony of the scriptures we've read this morning of Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. We know that they were far from being perfect men, and we see many faults recorded in particularly Jacob's life in the scripture, but Isaac as well, and perhaps a little bit Joseph, Lord, but we know that they were not perfect men. And yet we read in the scripture that our text this morning that they trusted you by faith with tomorrow. A tomorrow that they wouldn't see on this earth themselves, but a tomorrow that they were looking to you to fulfill your promises in the lives of their children and grandchildren. Lord, I pray that you would help us to realize today we need to trust you with tomorrow. Our own tomorrows, Lord, we do not know. We have plans made probably for this week, maybe this month, maybe this whole year, maybe the years to come. But Lord, we need to trust them to you, for we do not know what tomorrow holds. Lord, we know that one day our tomorrow will be eternity, and we don't know when that's going to be. And so I pray that you'd help us to search our hearts today, and may we know beyond any doubt that our tomorrow, as far as eternity is concerned, is settled, and that we will be forever with our Lord in that place where there is no need of the sun, for the Lamb is the light thereof. And Lord, I pray you'd also help us, especially as parents or perhaps grandparents, as perhaps people looking forward to having children one day, Lord, that you help us also to realize that we need to so live our lives by faith that they also, our children, our grandchildren, would see the evidence of you in our life. Lord, that we would teach them and train them about what is right, but that we would ultimately trust their tomorrow into your care. So Lord, help us, I pray, to search our hearts this morning in accordance with the way the Spirit speaks to our hearts, we ask in Jesus' name. Just while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed this morning, the most important thing you can resolve about tomorrow is that come what may, tomorrow you know that you're on your way to heaven. Maybe you hear this morning and say, "Preacher, I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. I'm not sure that if I died today I would go to heaven." But I want to know that. I want to trust God with my eternal tomorrow. Preacher, would you pray for me? Anybody like that, let me pray for you this morning. Right, you hear, Christian, and maybe you say, "Well, I know that. I know that my eternal tomorrow is settled and taken care of, but I'm concerned about tomorrow. I've been worried about tomorrow, things that may come tomorrow or this week or this month or in the future, and I've been fretting over those things, but God has spoken to my heart. I realize this morning I need to trust Him with that tomorrow. Preacher, would you pray for me?" Anybody like that? Let me pray for you. Amen. Lord bless you. Amen. Lord bless you. Put your hands down. How about that next thought as we think about these men, Isaac and Jacob, how they blessed their children by faith? Maybe as a parent or grandparent, God has spoken to your heart today. Say, "Preacher, pray for me. I want my faith to be a living faith that's passed on to my children, and that I would trust their future to the Lord's hands. Preacher, would you pray for me?" Anybody like that? Let me pray for you. Amen. Lord bless you. Amen. Lord, thank you for speaking to our hearts today. And Lord, I pray that you'd help these who raise their hands. You know the specifics, Lord, of what you've spoken to them about. And Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness to speak to our hearts. And I pray you'd minister to these folks and the decisions that they need to make and the trust that they want to place in you. And Lord, that you would just guide them in their lives. And Lord, that you'd be glorified in the process of that, of their faith in you. And that they would have that peace that passes all understanding in their hearts and minds. Lord, as we sing our invitation this morning, I pray that perhaps some who raise their hands or maybe some who didn't, who would just need to come and talk to you at the altar this morning, maybe about the message or maybe about something different that's in their lives that you're speaking to them about. Lord, that we would take this time of pondering the message and of pondering your speaking to our hearts and come and commit these things to you. So, Lord, use this time, I pray, in our lives to be a blessing to us in this life and for all of eternity, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.